This is the Friday, April 20th, 2018 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Ted Seifried. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nalini.
Ted, we didn't get to cotton in the main part of the broadcast, so let's make sure we hit on it now. Do we need to lower ending stocks for cotton?
Okay, that's a great question. Look at export sales at about 110% of the USDA's expected pace. So yeah, I would think so. I think that we are going to see that coming down the line. And I think that's where we found recent strength in cotton. We had good export sales again here this last week. So I would say yes, we do. Here's my thing, though. We're looking for a fairly significant bump in cotton acres. And so our production for next year is going to be fairly strong unless we have any bigger weather issues. So while we have, I think, reason for strength for cotton in the front, I worry that, you know, maybe the back is going to get a little heavy. So I'm wondering if producers should be looking for opportunities to hedge further out months.
Okay. Looking to make some hedges specifically or options as well?
Yeah, different tools for different things,
okay.
Right? You know, a lot of that all depends on what risk tolerances are, what operational costs, what you're willing to spend, or just personal preference. You know, you work with each individual and figure out what they like, and then that's what we do.
All right, perfect. Let's take some social media questions. We have Steven in Virginia at Hedge Whisperer says, when prices spike the first month of May, will I be attributed to funds or spread reallocation?
Hi, Steve. Does it matter? No. Yeah, you know, we always sort of blame the funds there, right? I mean, spread reallocation is something that is realistic and that will happen at that time. But, yeah, no, I feel like the funds have an interest to being long a lot of these markets, soybeans in particular. And that might be a good time for them to come and do it. I like how he says when markets spike in May because, you know, that's sort of presumptive, right?
Is that not what you're anticipating to see?
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that.
Okay.
You know, I think maybe later May, right? I don't know if it's going to happen right at May 1st because, again, I think we could see some pressure here as we get into planting. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be done with planting anywhere close at the beginning of May. But as we get to about 60% planted, then I start to think that, yeah, maybe Steve's right.
Okay. Let's take another social media question. We do like getting those in on Facebook and Twitter. Chris in Wisconsin says, of the three major grain markets, wheat, corn, and beans, which one has the most upside and which one has the most downside going forward?
Wow. That's a great question, Chris. Thank you for that. I'm most friendly corn. I think corn has the most upside potential because of the lower acreage, because demand is as strong as it is, because we don't rely on China for our corn exports, and because every way I work a balance sheet, unless we have absolutely knockdown yields, I mean records by a long shot, into the 180s, it's really hard to come up with a carryover that's anything but quite a bit less than what we've seen in the last few years. Throw a weather problem in there, or you take a yield that's 2-3 bushels below trend line, things get really interesting very quickly. So I think we should be on our toes here for corn. So I think there's quite a bit of upside there. Soybeans always have the explosive amount of upside potential if something were to happen. Now, I don't see that. I really think soybeans have the most downside potential from where we're at, mainly because, you know, we're taking 550 million bushels, I think it could be more, of carryover into the next growing season or into the next marketing year. This growing season, I still think we're going to get close to 90 million acres of soybeans. If we have a halfway decent yield, doesn't have to be trend line. If we have a halfway decent yield, I think our earnings stocks can be in the mid sixes to mid sevens for next year. Could be better than that if we have really good yields. And I think demand continues to kind of suffer from China. I think China is going to really try to prefer South America as much as possible. Yes, that might displace some exports back towards us, but we've seen the pain here on our exports this year. I worry that demand for soybeans might not be as strong as what we might hope, and I think we're overplanting. So if you have a good crop this year, I think there's quite a bit of downside for soybeans.
Okay, and you touched on something I wanted to ask you about there with China trying to source more beans from South America. Mm-hmm. Is there really that much of a concern that they won't source them from the U.S.? I mean, don't they need enough beans where they're going to have to come to the U.S. for some business?
Well, we've seen this year that their imports, their purchases from the U.S. have been down sharply. So they can prefer South American. And even if they're able to shift, you know, 5 to 10% of their export demand down to South America, that's a huge impact on our balance sheet. Now, what we've seen in, you know, the recent weeks is that displaces demand from other places, meaning Brazilian prices get strong enough that mm-hmm. Europe and countries that wouldn't normally buy from us have come to us. But if we do it in a year where Argentina doesn't have bigger issues, and if we do it in a year where Brazil has a solid crop like they have in the last few years, it's going to be easier and easier for them to do that. So a lot of it depends on South American weather. This year, because of Argentina and Argentina needing to probably source beans, a significant amount of beans from Brazil, and the fact that Brazil is going to have to crush more beans as well, it might not have as big of an impact this year as it could have. But we've seen them try to shy away from us as much as they possibly can. And if that keeps up, that's going to be difficult for next year.
Absolutely. One more social media question as we're kind of talking about China and tariffs and how that's going to affect the markets. Steve in Illinois wants to know, will some cutback in hog numbers in China drop soybeans demand for China?
Yes. Hi, Steve. Yes, that's a concern we have. You know, that's part of the whole idea of, is China demand for soybeans starting to tail off or not grow as exponentially as it has in the last few years? They are shrinking their hog herd. We've seen the numbers on that. It's a concern. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about Chinese demand going forward. Is it going to be there? Yes. Is it going to keep growing exponentially like it has been? Question mark. And even if it does, are they going to try to push more and more of the percentage of, or the percentage of increase or whatever down to South America? And the answer to that seems likely yes. So I think that has to be a concern. I mean, you have to say that China will always have to import U.S. soybeans. And that's been said, and that's been sort of the excuse on why we haven't put a lot of pressure on the mm-hmm. soybean market since, you know, the trade war started. But they can push some of that demand, and they can, again, 5 to 10% reduction in their demand from the United States has a huge impact on our balance sheet. And that's the concern I have for next year.
Okay. And I guess another topic or another question we should be asking ourselves or asking you when we look at what's going on in China. They placed some tariffs this week on sorghum. Mm. What's that going to do for our sorghum producers and market?
The sorghum market is in trouble. You know, our traditional sorghum buyers, we kind of shunned them when China came into the market because China was willing to pay the bigger prices, and we really wanted to. I mean, we wanted that. We wanted that Chinese business, and we went hot and heavy with that as much as we could. But then all of a sudden, China sort of turns their back, mm-hmm. as they do. They have done this. They did it with milk. They've done it with corn. They've done it with a variety of different things. They have a tendency to do that. But losing China as a customer, that's what we've done. We've lost China as a customer.
And they're a huge customer.
Huge customer.
Sorghum.
I mean, they're most, the vast majority of our exports.
I think it's something like 90%.
Yeah, but huge amount of exports going to China. If that cuts off, we're going to have to try to reinvigorate that export business to other countries. We have a problem because we had a lot of stuff on the books to China that's probably not going to go. There's going to be a lot of sorghum that's going to be needing to find a home, and you're going to see sorghum basis drop, I think, pretty aggressively. I'm worried it could drop two under, you know. So I'm concerned about what we're going to do to market sorghum and where we're going to find a home for it. I mean, we're going to try to open the obviously Mexico, but we're going to try to push that further. I don't know. We'll see. But I think prices have to come down in order to get that done.
So producers maybe should be looking at some options or hedging strategies to protect some of that downside risk that's coming in the future?
Yes. I mean, we got to cross hedge it. So we've got to use sort of other tools. So that becomes a problem because sorghum is based on corn board price usually. And, you know, if the basis is what's dropping, then it's really hard to protect that. Forward contracts, if you can get them, which I don't know if you can. It's been hard to do that. So again, there's a bit of a problem in sorghum, and I don't know if there's a great way to deal with it.
Okay. maybe for another discussion. Let's round out today's conversation talking about oil. We had a pretty good price increase here this week. Why?
You know, there's been a lot of talk from some bigwigs about we've virtually gotten rid of or chewed through a lot of the oil glut that we had. And that's coming from OPEC continuing to freeze their production. And yeah, it's done good things for prices. We've really seen prices come up. I'm a little concerned about crude oil prices going forward because I'm a little concerned about the domestic, domestic, but also global stock markets and economies as a whole. I think that crude might have a high end for now. I'm looking for the June crude to back up to about 65, maybe 64. If it holds there and can stay in this upward trend channel, then maybe we can make new highs again and keep marching on. But we'll see. Technically speaking, I'm a seller of crude right now, and I'm looking for a few dollar pullback at least.
Okay. Ted Seifert, thank you so much for joining.
Always a pleasure, Lainey. Thanks for having me.
Join us again next week when we explore how Florida farmers are bouncing back after Hurricane Irma, and Mark Gold will sit across from me at the market-to-market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.